First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Vacuum took it across, and the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it, gives to Abdullah, right side, got a hole, Abdullah 20, Abdullah 10, shakes the man at the 8, and dances into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions!
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast, post-game show, with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is the live post-game, postpartum depression show. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I'm your host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. Case, you out there, man?
Yeah. Do you want to hear a joke, Chris?
Sure, I'm always up for a joke.
The Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, you very well could be right. They did not look good yet this season. All right, also want to mention we're going to be joined by one other co-host this day. Mike, the ambling bastard, is celebrating his birthday at Wembley. He's probably face down on a train somewhere right now. And, of course, our Central Michigan intern. Brandon, the intern, is here. So that's going to be pretty nice. In today's show, we've got a roundtable discussion about the game today. There may be slings, there may be arrows, there's a lot to talk about. Jeff Risden, he's going to join us for a quick conversation, do his breakdown on the game, and then we're going to open up the phone lines for anger management and group therapy. So get with it, guys. We're going to get ready to knock it out here. You ready to go, Case?
Before we get going, I just want to say that, like, I tried to convince Chris that we shouldn't bother doing a show today because it in protest of the terrible, awful state that the Lions are in. He talked me into doing it because he felt that we needed it as a fan base. I don't believe that they deserve our time right now, but we're gonna do this because it's more than just about the team. So
let's kick this off and break it down.
Okay, a lot of hurting Lions fans out there. Quick through our announcements first. We want to thank all of our friends who are helping us out on Patreon. The patrons, special thanks to Dylan from
Guam,
James, Mike, Matt. You're with us, Case. Come on. Eric, Travis, Lucas, Joel, Bert, Nick, and of course, our first donor, Mathis. I also don't want to forget about a couple new donors. We got Jeffrey, who just came in, and Justin, the Tin Pot Gamer, who joined us on the Patreon thing. Thanks a lot, guys. Really appreciate all of your support and all your help. If you want to help support the show, go ahead and go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Over on the right-hand side, you can click on the Patreon link or go to Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Don't forget about us on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, The Detroit Lions Podcast. And we are on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, where Case is running around at what state right now, Case?
Complete depression.
That's right. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you pick us up. The contest is closed. We've got our entries for the best review contest in. We will announce the winner on Wednesday at Wednesday's show. So drum roll until then. You can just keep that in your mind. We're not gonna play one here. But big winner going to be announced. Saw some really great reviews out there. Also, don't forget you can leave us a voice message on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Otherwise, we will open up the phones shortly and you can call and talk to us live on this show. All right, we're done with the announcements. Let's get this train moving.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
How deep can we go? We'll start out by bringing the intern in. Brandon, the intern. How you doing, my man?
Confused and just depressed.
Yeah, I understand. Let's start with you on the roundtable. Let's talk about the game, what we saw. And you can talk about your feelings if you need some help with your anger. We can help you with that. What do you got going on, man?
my love for Golden Tate is just diminishing by the game. He was my favorite player, and he's just not the same person as he was when he came into Detroit 2 years ago. He's gone down. Jim Caldwell was denying in his press conference that he got benched. I think he probably did. He just didn't seem like he was himself out there. The offensive line couldn't do anything. Travis Swanson, Larry Warford, and Lakeland Tomlinson were just not on par with what they should normally be. And the defensive line, we have depth, but that depth can't contribute at all and get any pressure. We can't stop the run. Secondary was getting burned. It was just a shit show. Horrible.
Shit show. Yeah, I think I used that in a tweet. That was a great descriptor. What do you got for us there, Case? Talk about the game. Let it out. Let us know how you're feeling here.
Well, anybody who's listened to us knows that my thing tends to be, you know, recognizing the bad, but looking at the good also. But when there's a game against a bad opponent where the best player in the game is Andre Roberts, I don't have anything to say about this game. I wish I did. You know, this is supposed to be us talking about the Lions and giving people information about the Lions, but I don't have anything positive to say. There is literally nothing that happened on the field today that I feel good about. Literally the only good thing that I can see coming out of this game is firing the coaching staff. That's the only good fucking thing that can come from this game. And it's not going to happen.
I'm with you.
So
I'm with you.
I hope that this, like,
who's first?
I don't know who to put all the blame on. Like, Stafford had a shit game. His receivers had a shit game, and when his receivers have shit game, he also has a shit game. They kept trying to run Theo Riddick, which wasn't fucking working. The offensive line wasn't doing shit. So, like, this offense that looked great in portions of the last few games and could have looked great against Tennessee if they had not been dropping balls, like, that wasn't the issue today. They were all just awful. None of them were on the same page. Like, what Golden Tate is doing right now reminds me of what Titus Young was doing in 2012. And that's pretty fucked up. Like, that he is not even remotely on the same page as Stafford. Like, so I have to fear for that relationship. Ebron was, you know, clearly he had a couple of plays that were decent, but like he continues to get banged up. And I said before the season got started that his health is a major concern. Marvin Jones cannot carry this team in the same way that Calvin Johnson did. And Stafford keeps treating him like Calvin Johnson. And if you try to throw the passes that would have been completed to Calvin Johnson to Marvin Jones, you're going to have a bad day. So there's nothing I want to talk about today. I don't want to talk about the Lions today. Can we talk about like how nice a day it is outside where I am or something like that? Because that's a much better topic right now.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sick of the nice days here where I'm at. Frankly, it's 90 freaking million degrees again. I miss fall. Anyway, about the game, you could just tell it was going to be a shit show right in the beginning with that PI play on Whitehead. Again,
which sucks.
It didn't wreck the game. I'm not blaming anybody. But boy, right after you get apologized to for a shitty PI, let's start the game with another one. Now, this is a team, okay? Historically, you'll see it. Once a bullshit call like that happens, they fall apart every fucking time. They've got no soul, no heart, no fucking anything. And they fall apart at the first sign of adversity, particularly from the officials. That's not at all any reason or any cause behind what happened to Gay today. Okay? That was just a fucking shitty call. And if you're a Lions fan, just expect that every fucking game and be done with it. It's not even something to bitch about anymore. Ebron, I'm fucking done with this son of a bitch. He could be great, but the fucking drops, the fucking penalties, the oh, I stubbed my toe, Jesus, call the fucking ambulance, oh, let me be on the field in two plays. He's got no threshold for pain. I swear to God, his attitude, everything except his fucking body's ability to stay on the motherfucking field shows strength. And then he fucking goes out there and fucking, fucking, I'm dying. And then he's back in two plays. Drives me fucking insane. I'm done with fucking Ebron. I'm fucking done with him.
Sorry, so what do we rant, fucking do from rant, here? That's the question. So what
Here's
the fuck
what
do we do?
Here's
you
what you
tear
do.
Down everything and just like you get rid of Matt Stafford at this point? Because that's the question. Because like is this kind of game for Matt Stafford the idea of like this is what's gonna happen? Because like that's what I don't know. He's the player that this kind of game throws a big question mark over.
I don't
because
think so.
Can he deal with that adversity?
Here's
and
the thing.
And he did not deal with that adversity today, and I expect him to deal with that adversity.
Here's
because
here's
normally
the
he gets
thing,
punched
Chase.
In the nose and he comes back.
Right.
Today he didn't fucking do that.
You know why? Because he's got a team that was from end to end on all phases of the ball, woefully, embarrassingly unprepared. And that goes straight to the fucking coaches. And I'm gonna tell you, on fucking Monday, I better fucking see Quinn driving a golf cart with Martha the fucking shotgun just blowing people away. Get the fuck out of the building. Get the fuck out of the building. Caldwell, let me kick you between the fucking nuts one time before I ship you out of the fucking building, because it's on him. His job is to prepare this fucking team. Second, you got to start kicking these fucking players' asses. Every one of them went to bat for that dumb motherfucking piece of shit head coach we've got who can't run a fucking team except into the ground. If you look at his fucking history, that's all he's done is taking decent teams and run them into the fucking ground. Get his ass the fuck out and all the players that fucking stood up for him. Stafford, I still believe in Stafford. I'm telling you straight up right now. He had a team. He was surrounded by a team that was unprepared. He was probably unprepared out there as well, but that isn't on him. He has shown us far too many times that he's a goddamn
partly
great quarterback when surrounded by fucking incompetence. Today, yep, you know what? Everybody has a bad game. Everybody has a bad game. It was incompetence from end to end on the field, but I don't put it on him in any way, shape, or form. And I'm helping everybody.
I don't agree. This to me was maybe a turning point in Stafford's career. Today was a turning point in Stafford's
way
career.
Way too early to tell. Way too early
like,
to tell.
Like, well, I'm not saying he's done. I'm not saying he can't bounce back from this. But this was a turning point in that, like, some of the benefit of the doubt that I gave a lot of the shit that happened. Because I honestly believe that he has had a shit situation for almost his entire career when you look at everything involved. But he was a huge part of the meltdown today.
Yeah, yeah. Woo, what a good time. All right. We've kind of weighed in. We like to go now to the next part of the show that we always go to on the live show. We've only got him for a little bit today, so let's get him in. Let's get the Riz on the phone here.
Are you ready to get schooled? It's time for Risden's Wisdom with the Riz, Jeff Risden.
All right. Get the phone a-ringling jingling. Get our man on the phone here.
Hello.
Hey, Riz. How you doing, bud?
Oh, it's another day. It's another Lions loss. What can you say?
How about those Saints? They're looking pretty good. Big 7-0 lead already.
Yeah, they'll blow it too. What they do.
All right, man. I know you don't have a lot of time today. We want to take advantage of what we have here. You've got some very important duties you got to attend to. Where are you at? What's your breakdown on what can only be described as a shit show out there today?
Oh, it was absolutely terrible. It was one of the worst games, one of the worst efforts I've ever seen from coaching to execution, to just game plan. It was, I mean, you can't lose to that Chicago Bears team. They're missing so many defensive starters. Their offensive tackles are crap. They're oh God, it was just, yeah. It's so bad. It's so bad.
It really, really was. I mean, leave it to the Lions to save someone else from an 0-16 season.
I mean, you needed Matthew Stafford to be better today. You needed the run game to be better today. Other than Zenner's 22-yard run, there wasn't anything there. They didn't even try. You need Golden Tate to be better. I'm very curious what happens with Golden Tate coming out of this, because he basically got benched for not running that route that cost Stafford that interception at the end of the first half. He also dogged on another one. I don't know if you guys were listening to the Lions radio crew, but they brought it up as they came back from break after that punt or whatever. The Tate was getting an earful on the sideline because he cut off a route. So that, you know, if your players that you're depending on to be leaders and veterans are not getting it done, Ebron had a bad game again, his worst game of the year, to go with Stafford's worst game of the year, to go with Travis Swanson's worst game of the year, to go with Riley Reiff's worst game of the year. And that's just the offense. The defense, oh my God, Brian Hoyer carved them apart. How does that happen?
I don't know if I've ever heard those words put together in a sentence before.
I mean, and now Hoyer has had some decent games in his career. He's fairly streaky at this sort of thing. And you know, they do have good wide receivers. I'm not going to dog Alshon Jeffrey or Kevin White. And you know, Nevin Lawson was close but no cigar so many times. He's given up 7 inches and probably 35 pounds to Alshon Jeffrey. So I'm not going to kill Nevin Lawson for having trouble today, but he's got to be better.
He took all 7 of those inches, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he really did. Took it where you don't want to take it either. Unless you swing to the opposite field. Yeah, you really don't want that. Yeah, it was, you know, Terrell Austin, again, asking Antoine Williams to make decisions in coverage. You can't do that. You got to know what you've got. But this game for me, this was Jim Caldwell game. This was complete Jim Caldwell coaching malpractice.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. What do you now? Case had asked a question as we kind of did our initial breakdowns here about Stafford and where do you go with him here? Is this a turning point in his career, or is this just a bad game? And he'll recover and kind of bring it together.
You know what? I'm more inclined to say it was a bad day where he didn't get a lot of help from the people around him either. It's funny because I was writing about the Thursday night game with Ryan Tannehill, who's kind of in the same place with their organization. And I wrote that, you know what? He had to be better, but he got no help from his teammates. And I think that was the case with Stafford today. He didn't have a good day, but the entire Lions team didn't have a good day. So I'm willing to cut him a little bit of slack on that. That last interception, though, that was just a terrible throw.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what you do with him. You're not going to find anybody better than him. Certainly not in on the free agency market anyway. So, you know, it's I think you keep him personally because I just looking at the quarterbacks in this draft. I have enough reservations about all of those guys to wonder if they're ever going to be as good as what Matthew Stafford is right now.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you're setting the franchise back. You're saying, okay, we're not going to be good next year. Well, you're going to have a rookie coach next year in all likelihood. We might have one by the end of this month if Caldwell keeps crapping it up as bad as he is right now. So, you know, there's an opportunity for change there. But I've said this many, many times. I'm not sure he's the long-term solution, but I definitely know Matthew Stafford is not the short-term problem. There are so many other fish to fry that need to get taken care of before you can properly evaluate whether or not you can dump him, Stafford, or not, whether there's merit to that. Because if, you know, he's not the problem. He wasn't the solution today for sure. But he's had better days, and I think we can trust in that. I think Jim Bob Cooter had a bad day. It probably his worst game as a coordinator.
Yeah.
You really have to pin this one on Caldwell. This team came out flat. They were unprepared. They looked like they didn't understand what they were supposed to be doing against a Bears team. That's a terrible football team across Lake Michigan from me here. That's a bottom three NFL roster right there. And they dominated the action in this game. They controlled both sides of the line of scrimmage. They controlled the pacing of the game.
And that's somewhere I want to go on this, because they're a bottom three roster. We're not by any means
a bottom three
roster. And we should not have gotten the shellacking, particularly in the first half, that we got from a team like this. And that's why I say it goes straight to coaching. These players, the schemes, the Riddick up the middle garbage, we just got torched everywhere. And we know these are good players, but the other side of that, and the other part of that that I want to kind of go to is, you know, as we kind of headed into the season, there was a lot of people talking about the Lions being a 4-12 team. And I didn't buy it. I didn't think this was a 4-12 team, strictly because who we had on our roster. But geez, after this, I mean, 4-12 could very well be a stretch, right? I mean, if you can't beat the Bears with this roster, with Brian Hoyer at the helm, I mean, you're in really, really bad shape.
They have now lost to two of the four worst teams in the NFL this year. Because Tennessee's bad, they lost again today to Houston. They're 1-3, and their win is against the Lions. The Bears are 1-3, their win is against the Lions. Those teams are going to combine to win six games this year. They're not. They're that bad. And the Lions have lost to both of them. What does that tell you about where the Lions are with Jim Caldwell? Because we look back at that Tennessee game. That was 100% coaching, with all the damn penalties and the sloppiness and, you know, getting caught unaware at the end of the game with what Tennessee was trying to do when they were rallying. Same thing today. They're just not prepared for the enemy of the week. And I don't understand how that happens. I mean, the Bears, to the Bears, an unending credit, they played to the strengths of their team. They're very good from guard, center, guard, and they have a running back who can, and Jordan Howard, who looked pretty darn good at running behind them and figuring out how to attack it. And, you know, give them credit. They figured out how to isolate Alshon Jeffrey on Quandre Diggs a couple times, on Nevin Lawson, who has a huge physical advantage over. They didn't look at Slay at all. They sort of took him out of the playbook. You know, that's smart coaching by John Fox. And going into this weekend, there were a lot of people in Chicago, a lot of people who wanted John Fox fired because he's not doing a very good job. Again, what does that tell you about Jim Caldwell? That has to be the only acceptable way you can look at this game.
Let me poke at this from another angle, because we had this little conversation, UI, Sandman, and a couple others on Twitter today, about people at this point saying, oh, we should have got rid of Caldwell after Quinn got here last year. I mean, as bad as we know Caldwell is, and as bad as we're seeing right now, that's not the right move, right? I mean,
no.
That's things would be worse today, and we'd have somebody sitting on a 3-year contract, right?
Yeah, and you have to look back. And Sandman is with me 100% on this, and brought it up, fighting the good fight for me. They did not have any options that were better than Caldwell at that point, because they weren't going to get anybody that you've heard of from the Patriots. They weren't going to get, you know, Brian Billick, my dream, you know, cream candidate. Those guys weren't coming to Detroit then. They weren't available. You're looking at guys like Ken Wisenhunt, who washed out miserably in Tennessee after being a guy that a lot of us, myself included, wanted the Lions to get when they hired Jim Caldwell. The options just weren't there. If you think they were, you're wrong. I'm sorry to say that, but there weren't any other better options. And the players did rally to Jim Caldwell's defense. They said, you know what, we can win for this guy. We want to give him a shot. We think this can work. And a lot of the prominent leaders on the team went to bat for Jim Caldwell. They've been proven wrong.
Not today.
But at the same time, yeah. If you are a rookie GM, you know, you have a lot of rostered players here, including the players that you know are the core of the team going forward, and they're saying, hey, we think this can work. You know what? He was right to keep him. But now that it's proven that they were wrong, you know, now is the time to act on that and say, you know what, guys, I gave him a shot. We had our chance, and he blew it, and you blew it for him. And he's going out the door, and if you're not happy with that, then you can follow him, because that's where this team is at right now. This is a – you know, I said preseason they were 6-10. 4-12 looks a whole lot more likely now than 6-10.
To kind of go off what you were saying a little bit earlier, Riz, you were saying how there was nobody really on Alshon Jeffrey. You had Nevin Lawson and Quandre Diggs. Why wasn't Darius Slay on Alshon Jeffrey? He's our best cornerback. Test him out on their best wide receiver. I mean, Alshon didn't have a great day. It was Eddie Royal destroying us. But you need to have your best cornerback and the best receiver. That just makes perfect sense to me.
That's something that the Lions do not have Slay travel with the number one. And most teams don't do that, to be honest with you. There's very few corners that travel. That's one of the adjustments that Washington is having with Josh Norman. He's not traveling. And you know, there's issues with that. Richard Sherman does it. Darrell Revis did it for a while. I think Marcus Peters is doing it in Kansas City. And that might be the list of the guys who do it. Green Bay does it a little bit when Sam Shields is healthy, but most of the time, most defenses do not have their number one corner mirror the other team's number one. And the reason is because it destroys the rest of the defense around it. You have to have guys around it who are capable of figuring out, okay, he's going here, so this is what we have to do to react in accordance to that. And if you think the Lions can do that, you're delusional, because they can't do it when they know what they're supposed to be doing. So that's why you don't have Slay doing that, aside from the fact Darius Slay isn't playing all that well either. So I'm not going to get on him for that one.
Yeah, but the other thing you're talking about for the coaching, how you're saying how it really cost us, you know, week two, and it pretty much cost us today, you could even say, with not even being prepared to win this game. And that just proves to me that this coaching staff is going to be gone, probably all three of them, by the end of the year. I think Jim Caldwell is not going to last
the end of the
year.
Week.
But
heads on a stick.
My main question is for basically everybody, who, when Jim Caldwell's gone, we're not going to find a head coach instantly. We're going to have an interim head coach. Who do we want? Do we want Jim Bob Cooter, or do we want Terrell Austin? I'm not sure who I want right now at that position, because both don't seem like they're ready for that job, and they're both going to be gone by the next year, no matter what.
I'd give it to Cooter. But you know what? If you're putting him at your interim head coach, you're taking away from his ability to work with the offense.
Yeah.
Now he did not have a good day today, but overall, he's been a major asset for the team, and he's been a major plus in helping Matthew Stafford be the best Matthew Stafford he can be. So I would, you know, that's a risky sacrifice. Terrell Austin, you know what? He might actually be the better sacrificial lamb, because if you know you're going to get rid of him at the end of the year anyways, he's not helping the defense. Maybe it gets somebody else in, promoted up to defensive coordinator, who can help the defense a little bit and restore some sanity to that side of the ball.
Yep.
I completely agree. See exactly what happens with Terrell Austin, a head coach, because at least it gives you like something to look at the rest of the year, as opposed to looking at, you know, shit the rest of the year. Well, at least it's shit with a potential upside. So
don't forget, we've also got Gunther Cunningham there, and maybe even Ernie Edsel. Those are guys Ernie's probably a stretch, but. Either one of those guys at this point is better than Caldwell for sure. Terrell Austin is I think your pick, because whoever gets promoted to the interim head coach, and I'll keep saying this, is going to get fired at the end of the year, because you
100%.
No one is going to go from interim head coach back to a coordinator. So if you put Cooter up there, you've lost Cooter, and if you think he's good for Stafford, which for the most part I think he has been, you're hurting yourself. He doesn't have the experience to be a head coach yet anyway. He's just become a offensive coordinator. Terrell Austin's a great opportunity. And you know what? You're going to get everything you can out of him, because he knows that's his shot to make his name as a head coach for some other team somewhere in the NFL.
Yeah, or the NCAA, which is having a lot of openings too. You know, Les Miles was available. He couldn't do any worse, could he?
All right. I think, Riz, I know you're short on time, man. So
yeah, I'm single dad, and I got two kids looking at me that both need to go in different directions. So I got to cut it short today.
No, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks a lot, man. Maybe next week we'll get you back for phone calls. But thanks for your breakdown, as always. Great, great stuff, man. Great stuff.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday.
All right, thanks, Riz.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, we're going to open up the phone lines here. All right, 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Or if you want to call us via Skype, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Detroit Lions Podcast. Go ahead and start ringing us up. We'll get our section started with the fan calls.
If you ever needed an excuse to drink, this is it. Time for Fan Sanity.
All right, here it is. Time to take your calls. Again, 248-782-8384. And Detroit Lions Podcast via Skype. We've got our first call coming in. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good.
What's your name?
This is... this is Brandon from the Sideline Report. I ride with Jeff.
Hey, oh, hey, doing, hey. I did a thing with this guy for the Eagles, the Eagles subreddit podcast just the other day. He helped me out with some detailed information on the Lions. I don't think either of us saw this coming before we did that, but...
Whew, you are right. That's Case, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Case, how you doing? All right, well, my question is, if I may offer one up, is where do we turn at the running back position? You guys mentioned about 5 minutes ago, running up the middle with Theo isn't working. He's got 2.8 yards a carry on his 11 carries. Stafford can't run the football every play.
He's good at it, where do we turn?
Is that, he is. Ask that Titans cornerback, huh? But yeah. I'd say my question is, where do we turn? Is Zach Zenner enough to help fill the void while Theo has to go do other duties and take breaks? Or is, do we dive into free agency or maybe a trade?
Maybe trade. They should have looked at Joik Bell.
Joik Bell didn't really do much today. He had 3 carries for like 6 yards. No, around. It's horrible. But
I mean, I think the combination of Dwayne Washington and Zach Zenner is as good as Joik Bell. But no, you're absolutely right that there's not really an answer for that right now. So I mean, losing a guy like Amir Abdullah, who can make something out of nothing consistently, is just that ruins an offense to not have a player like that. Not to say that they'd have won today with him. But at least something maybe would have happened here and there that would have gotten them, yards where they, instead they got negative yards. So
I would completely rule out any kind of trades because NFL and trades don't really go together, I guess. But yeah. The only running back that looked somewhat positive was Zach Zenner. Now, Case, keep your pants on. But he didn't look that bad. Like, he had 3 carries for 12 yards, didn't get much opportunity, but he didn't give up or anything, and he didn't get hurt like Dwayne Washington. Now we're down to 2 running backs with him and Theo Riddick, and Theo isn't that power back type, and Zenner can bring that with somewhat of a little bit of agility and speed in him. I think we can give him more of a shot. I mean, he's not going to explode into the scene and be phenomenal, but I'd give him a little bit more chances next week.
If they tried him out in the bell cow position, at least it would be trying something different.
Yep.
And I'm all about that right now because they're as bad as they are, like they can continue to make small tweaks and hope that that makes a big difference, but it's not going to, it's not going to make a huge difference. In my mind, at this point, you may as well throw balls to the wall and try something completely different, which to me exactly is, trying, let's see what Zach Zenner can do getting 20 carries a game. And if it fails, it fails. But, I mean, it's not like they were going to have success doing something else anyway.
Yeah, the lack of creativity in how they've been using Theo has really been disheartening. It is probably the biggest knock I have on JB Cooter right now. It looked really, really bad. So, hey Brandon, you're also known as Finley the Human, right?
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So, guys, I didn't mention this when the Riz was on with us. Brandon here, he's on Sideline Report. And make sure you check their stuff out. They do some really, really good stuff over there. This is Finley the Human on Twitter. Check him out. And, Brandon, hey, thanks a lot for calling, man. We got a bunch of people banging on the lines. We're going to try to run through them today. We're trying to keep it a little tighter than we normally do this Sunday.
Absolutely. You guys, take care.
All right. Hey, have thanks a million for calling, Brandon.
All right, guys.
All right. See you, bud. All right, guys. Keep the calls coming, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384, or via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word. I want to kind of allude to a segment that's going to be coming up in the podcast here. Case doesn't know about it yet, and actually only one other guy knows about it. He's an artist that's going to be working with us. We're going to have Heads on a Stick. It's going to be a great little artistic expression and segment we have. So keep your ears up on that in the regular podcast. Heads on a Stick coming up because there's a couple heads that need to be on a stick. All right, we got another caller coming in. How you doing, man? What's your name?
I'm Jeff. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm all right. Hey, thanks for reacting to me on Twitter. I am at Dumbass Lions Fan because at this point, I think
Aren't we all?
But at this point, this is all I have to say about that game. It's time to self-medicate. I fuck, man. The question I have is where the hell was Don Carey? I mean, are you telling me Don Carey is worse than Bush or anybody else who can throw out at safety? And quite frankly, is he any worse than anybody you can put in the slot? This is absolutely mind-numbing. And as a crescendo to my entire Bad Lions weekend, I always used to bitch at my dad for fucking doing this to me. And so my 20-year-old son comes up to me today and says, "I should punch you straight in the face for making me a Lions fan, motherfucker." And I just looked at him and said, I just looked at him and said, "Punch away. I'm a bitch. Yep. Fucking punch me.
I'm your huckleberry.
I got nothing."
For myself, unfortunately. So.
I finally got off my dead ass and actually donated on Patreon today. Great job, guys. Appreciate all your stuff. Bye.
Oh, thanks a lot, Jeff. Man, I was just going to mention that. He showed up on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Roll over to the right-hand side and click on the Patreon link. You can become a Patreon and help support the show. Thank you to everybody who's helped support so far. Another caller. How you doing, man? What's your name?
Hello? Am I online?
You are. How are you?
Oh man, I'm not okay. My name's Orion Morris. I'm out here in the middle of Wyoming.
Hey Orion, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've been giving you guys crap about Caldwell or anybody about firing Caldwell right away or even if they made the playoffs, and I'm on board now.
I have to give some people a little bit of inside track here. I was putting a bet down, but I don't think it was an extreme bet. There was no way this team was making the playoffs. There was no way he was going to get a win. So that was just an easy way to get people riled up, saying even if they won a playoff game, he'd be fired. I knew he was going to be fired before they even thought about making the playoffs.
Oh, man, I had hope that we would turn it around because of just the progress that was made last year with Cooter. And now, I mean, I don't know. It's scary to think, though. You know, 2018 is what we're looking at. That's scary, just because it's another wasted talent. If we're looking at Stafford, you know, I mean, he's going to be 30 by 2018, and I know he has some years as a quarterback, but.
Could be worse. He could be Jay Cutler, because the Bears have been hanging on to Cutler and he's like, what, like 35, 36 now. So at least, you know, we're talking about a guy who has 5-6 years that if they can get their shit together, they can do something with. But I'm not saying it's likely at this point that they will.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, another system learned. If they lose Cooter, you know, it's another system that he's got to learn. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not that impressed with the offensive line, and the defensive line is non-existent. It's scary.
They haven't showed up yet. I mean, if Kerry Hyder is your sack leader, there is something wrong. I mean, he's a guy that was going to fall to the practice squad at best, and he's your best penetration on the team. You're not getting very.
He's the best defensive player. Period.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And he's a former UDFA, and like that they picked up in the offseason. That's
zero pressure. I mean, on that third quarter when they were it was a long third down, and they complete a long one over the middle, and Hoyer just sat back there. You know, I mean, we needed that stop. They were, you know, deep in their own Chicago side of the field. If we get a stop there, we're looking at some good field position and a chance to come back. I think we're 8 points down at that point and you know, maybe tie the game. And nope, long third down pass over the middle. Hoyer sat there all day long.
And he's not a good quarterback.
He can't cover that long. Yeah, I know.
He's not a good quarterback. The only reason that they were making chunk plays is because there were wide open guys on basically every single drop back they had.
Well,
it was awful.
You know, much like the naked guy at the Rams game 2 weeks ago, the gorilla costume guy this week got more yards than the entire Lions offense. And that was just ugly.
Yeah, and that pisses me off too. I mean, they're trying to run the ball over and over again, and we haven't seen Zinner all year long. And they put him in, and he looked all right. He looked better than what they had. Like, why not give the kid a carry or two in the first quarter when you can still run the ball or in the first half?
And because we keep trying to push Riddick early in the game, which I don't understand.
And let's not forget, I mean, Dwayne Washington was there and looked like there was really going to be something. His injury is a loss, I think, for this team. Hopefully it's, I saw something about a possible turf toe or Liz Frank. I just hope that it's not as serious as that, because things could get real ugly real fast, and then we're going to be, you know, staring over there with our chins in our hands, dreaming of Joique Bell, who's now a freaking Bear.
Oh God. Yeah, it was I'm depressed, I'm drinking beer. I mean, out here in Wyoming the game started at 11, so I have to balance my depression and my alcohol intake as far as when it, because I don't drink until they start losing. I won't have a beer until they start losing.
You're a better man than me.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yeah, no, man. Thanks for calling in. We're gonna keep moving here. There's the phones are ringing like crazy. There's a lot to talk about here, but thanks a lot for calling.
Thank
Ryan.
You. Yeah, we'll listen to the podcast here later.
All right,
yep,
we'll see you.
Yep. See you guys.
Yeah, peace. Bye. All right, boy, good stuff. 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384 or Detroit Lions Podcast. All one glorious word. Detroit Lions Podcast. I did see some people saying to bring back Lombardi. And some other people saying, bring back Schwartz.
No. I know. Oh, no.
It's not that bad, guys.
No, those are bad decisions. Those are terrible decisions. Just because it's bad doesn't mean it can't be worse.
Is it bad that I was getting Joe Lombardi feels with Jim Bob Cooter?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes.
Little passes to Theo Riddick. And I was like, no, I've seen this before. I don't want the same results to happen again. Get out of here.
He seemed to want to stretch the field, but.
Yeah.
Every time they tried to stretch the field, the wide receivers were running the wrong routes and or Stafford was throwing the wrong passes. And that's where it gets really tough, you know. Who is at fault in those situations? Yep. Both of the interceptions Stafford threw are like, who exactly did the wrong thing there? And it's really tough to tell.
Yep. Hey, we got a call. How you doing? And I'm gonna quit saying man because one of these times we're gonna get a lovely female and I'm gonna feel like a jerk. So caller, how you doing? What's your name?
How you doing, man?
I am a man. My name's Q. I go by Ultra Magnus LRLL on the subreddit. I'm a brand new subscriber to the subreddit, but I've been listening to you guys for about a year, so it's great to finally get you on the phone and to get to say hello.
Awesome, man. Hey, thanks a lot for listening, first off. And also, thanks for coming and joining us in the sub. It's a fun place. At least, well, we're not on the air. It's at least a place to have a nice little chat.
There's a couple other things. Chris, you sound just like my buddy Tony. Like when you're on the radio and I'm listening as I'm driving to work or something, it's like my buddy Tony is sitting right next to me talking. And he's the guy who really taught me a lot about football. And we used to watch the games together until he moved back to Michigan because I'm in Chicago right now.
Dude, I'm so glad he didn't say Tony was a douche.
No, he's a great guy. He's a really great guy. And, he's so he's not on Reddit, though. The darn, guy, but whatever. The other thing is I was just at the game. I went with a buddy of mine who is also not on Reddit, but we've been going to the game the last 2 years. And, I've been to the last three Lions-Bears games in Chicago and watched them sweep them for the last, 3 years. It was great. And I went back today like, yes, every game, I'm going to watch them. And it didn't work.
Time for New Jersey.
So I sat there with my spy glasses. I'm at the game, get to get a nice up close look with the spy glass. And I'm checking out Jim Caldwell. And is he trying to figure something out? Does he got a Rubik's Cube in his pocket that he's doing? What's going on? What's this guy doing? Because even live, on TV, they just show the one shot of him. But I was watching him pace back and forth down the sideline, sometimes even away from the action. And I really like Caldwell. I've sat and spied him looking for a chance that, maybe I'll see him get animated when the cameras don't. And so I could say, this guy does really get into his players' faces and stuff. And nope.
It's like, hey, Jim, you happy to see me or is that a Rubik's Cube in your pocket? Oh, no, that's a Rubik's Cube.
But I will say that the one positive thing I did see today, the first time I think I've ever seen this, was Darius Slay had a sack.
Yeah, it was his first of his career.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, that's something creative.
They should
Thank
turn
you.
It into a linebacker. That's what we need right now.
But, so I'm looking, my buddy Frank and I, we watch every game. We follow on the offseason and everything. So we're at this game looking for, like, you know, hey, you know, is someone other than Kerry Hyder going to have a sec? And it was Darius Slay of all people. So at least Darius Slay has done something new. We need to get him some interceptions. But, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better about Darius Slay's ability to do some stuff.
You hit on something right there. The lack of interceptions, the lack of turnovers through four games. This team has only produced one turnover.
By my buddy Glover Quinn.
The defense. The defense. Yeah. The offense has way more than one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't even say the offense hasn't been turning the ball over a ton. Today they had two. But it wasn't like they've been turning it over left and right.
I think they got five on the year.
Is it five?
Yeah, I was thinking that's really...
But back to the point, like my point is that how is it possible that this defense only has one turnover through four games? That's got to be bottom of the league. And as fluky a stat as turnovers are, and as much as they like fluctuate, it's hard to predict turnovers. Like big time, it's hard to predict turnovers. There is nothing the Lions are doing on defense that's conducive to making turnovers. They're not getting enough pressure to make errant throws. They're not doing a good job of attempting to strip the ball from... And so every tackle they make on a running back is like a desperation. We have to get this guy down right now, because if we don't get him down right now, he's going to break for another 20 yards. Like, so they don't have the option to like even attempt a strip. It's so sad that...
So how about this?
When you can't tackle, you can't go to strip, right? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, the Bears fans around us were actually saying that, Case. The Bears fans around us were kind of watching how Glover Quinn is on cleanup duty, and he's like their only like guy back there who's ever done anything.
Yeah.
And so it's really funny that you said something that the Bears fans...
I hate saying anything that the Bears fan would say, but unfortunately, in this instance, they were probably right.
And at least for the defensive backs trying to get interceptions, it's kind of hard for them to snag an interception when they give the receivers a nice 5-yard cushion. That's an easy grab.
Right.
And these guys
every
time, tackle them.
Right.
So it's
when you give
it's like
when you
there's
get a
no
tight
coverage,
end, you know, 8 yards down the field before you even like consider
no
going after.
Man. It's all zone. We're not doing man to man. It's all zone. And if we have someone.
Ugly. It's
close to it. It's
too.
Just a pass deflection or an incomplete. It's nothing there at all. It's horrendous.
There was a couple moments in this game where they got guys down after the catch before they got the first down. And that was actually an improvement. it's so sad because like they would give them 8 yards and still manage to just tackle them with 1 yard to go. And like the last few games, that's been, you know, a 15-yard gain instead of an 8-yard gain. So at least that's, you know, if I'm trying desperately to find some silver lining, at least they were swarming to the guy who caught the pass faster than they have been. But
oh, man. All right.
I'll let you kick in here and then we'll get rolling, bro. Just one more thing. I'm going to the Thanksgiving game as well with my brother. So I'm going to definitely call in again after that game and group therapy afterwards is great.
I'll tell you what, I'm actually going to be at that game as well. I'm coming in from the West Coast to do that game. And we're talking a little bit about maybe getting together for a tailgate, get a couple of podcast friends and fans together and just kind of hang out and drink beforehand. And
playing Russian roulette.
Yeah, that kind of thing. more as we get closer, but just a real quick shout out. If anyone has a line, I need 6 tickets because I'm bringing my family to this thing and we haven't been together as a family in like a decade and we were doing the Lions game for that thing. So anyone knows, just Chris at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Help me out and I'll hook you up with some cash for those tickets. But anyway, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. And stay in touch for sure. We'll check you out and we'll get something together for the Thanksgiving game. And we may do a little live podcast or a live little segment from the parking lot before the game. So let's be sure to hook up.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
No problem, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for joining the subreddit.
Yep, go Lions.
All right. We're gonna go right into another call. We got someone named Dopey Dog. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
I just got two quick things. First, I think Caldwell I mean, we discussed it, but I think he needs to go just based on the fact the Lions almost seem to be getting worse. I mean, every game, they're just, I mean, I get there's injuries, but we got beat
every
by the JV team.
Every game since he got here, they've seemed to get worse. I mean, they had a renaissance in the second half of last season, but Caldwell overall, you know, like if you put on a chart the Lions' success since he got here, it's a downward line.
For sure. And I don't care, like, I know there's a who's going to coach. I don't care if Martha coaches the team. I mean, anybody's better at this point.
I think she has more emotion involved than he does, for sure.
Well, for sure. Like my high school coach, like if we would have put up that kind of performance against a poor team, like he just wouldn't stand there on the sideline. He'd be up in our face. Hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? You know, try to inspire to, you know, come back or at least show some effort. Not just, hey, you know, just it's fine. You guys are terrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And really, Stafford.
Quick, sorry, we just got a quick message from Case.
I'm gonna piss like a unicorn.
All right, sorry. He just had to put that in. Go ahead, man.
It happens. Stafford, like, while he definitely didn't play well, I don't think he was that bad. He had the two interceptions, but I mean, he had what, a touchdown, and I mean, wasn't great by any means. But
and one of those interceptions is all on Tate, right?
Right. I mean, he wasn't, there was no one even there. Like, there was no one within what, 10 yards, 15 yards?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw, but he was screaming at him on the sideline, you know, what the blank are you doing? And the second point was just, you know, what do you do to get better? I mean, I'm not even sure at this point.
I'll start with, Your coaching. Your coaching brought a team onto the field that was entirely unprepared for one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And right there, 100%, that is all on Jim Caldwell. He has got to go. Terrell Austin, I would fire his ass, but you need somebody to step in as interim coach. And then you still need a defensive coordinator. Maybe you get rid of Caldwell and, like we said, bring Gunther Cunningham on in and just let it go. I'm not really sure. I don't feel like you're going to get a whole lot out of Gunther in the line of making this team win. I think Terrell Austin will be fighting for his life as a head coach because that's his resume as a head coach then for the job he gets after here. I'm not super excited about our pieces. Now, that does go to the point though. Like I said, we couldn't get rid of Caldwell when Quinn got here. There was nothing even close, much less better, available for a head coach. You don't sign a head coach for less than a 3-year deal. You're not going to throw away that kind of money. You just got to keep Caldwell through the end of his contract here. Now that gives Quinn a year to build up his players, his roster with the shit show that was left from Mayhew. He can start fixing that while Caldwell's there. He can start upgrading the facility as he's done with the weight room and the scouts and other trainers and so on. He's made a lot of moves in the organization that are things that take a while to bear fruit. And he was able to do that this year with Caldwell there and really not take a whole lot of heat. All the focus is on Caldwell right now. He'll bring in his guy next year. We'll have a new coach. It'll be a new system. It'll give another draft, another free agency period, and it'll give us a year of, you know, grace period, quote unquote, for the new coach to get their system and coordinators and everything installed. And I think we'll have a good season with our new coach. I don't think we're going to be Super Bowl bound, but I think we're going to have a good season. And then that really sets the team up for 2018. And I hate to be taking such a long view on this right now, but we are literally in the midst of a complete rebuild of a team and nobody's talking about it. We've got a lot of talented pieces, but as we see, the product in the field does not bear out the talent of the systems, the coaches. And again, I go back to, you know, you've got Kerry Hyder, you've had Armbrister out there as a linebacker. You just don't have enough talent on the field to win as a team, and you have to rebuild. We didn't have depth as a result of Mayhew's choices and movements. We're rebuilding. We just have to face it. I think it's time for us as a
fan base to
admit it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. You're talking about some of the younger players we have, getting them playing time and depth. You're right. But, you know, maybe it's a long season. There's a lot of games left. Maybe they get some playing time and even if they're not starters within the one or two next years, maybe they're depth guys and, sure, and get some absolutely. Experience. So
absolutely.
Maybe that's one thing to look forward to. But thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. No problem. Thanks a lot for calling.
Yep. Bye.
All right. Dopey dog. I like that. He had a pretty cool picture too of a dog with a little bit of a dopey face there. Where are you at, Brandon? What are you thinking, bud?
I just wanted to correct. Stafford did not throw a touchdown today through that 2-point conversion. It's pretty much it. That was all I had to say about that whole point. But I agree. We need to give some young guys some chances to play. And we got to see if they're worth to be on the roster next year. Because like you're saying, it's a rebuilding phase. And this isn't Michigan where it takes 1 year to one coach. It's all it takes. No, you need a lot more help here. It's going to take some time before we actually be able to compete for a championship again.
I know you're a blue and yellow, dyed and true, tried and true guy. You mean it's not college football? I'm with you, though. As a Michigan guy, I know where you're coming from, but we got to kind of stay a little bit above that. All right, let's start winding down the calls here. We're getting to – it's been a pretty good show. We'll take one more call. 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Or – on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Let's go ahead and start. Brandon, let's let you kind of do a wrap up from your perspective. We'll start there. If we get a caller, we'll kind of grab that and then close out with Case and myself.
All right. Well, I'm just looking for some kind of news within the next week of any possible coaching changes, even if they're rumors, just rumors of Caldwell getting fired or Caldwell having another week or two of life. I'm fine with that. I want some kind of news to come out of Bob Quinn basically saying, nut up or shut up, prove it to me that you can last another week or two, or you're out, you're done. I want to see something like that. And I also kind of wanted to lighten on the whole injury situation with Levy and Ziggy. Those are our only two injuries. Well, we do have Tavon Wilson, so I lied. So there's three. The three starters are out right now, and we did that bad against a horrible offense. Are we really going to get that much better with those three back? Or are we going to even be somewhat competitive in the future? I don't know. This is definitely going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, like we talk when we start the show, a little bit of anger management, a little bit of you know, group therapy. It's what the show is about. Let's add one more call here, and then Case, you can kind of give us a rundown of your big picture. Oh, it's the fantasy
Hello?
Football commissioner, Nathan Cheatham. How you doing, man? All right.
Well, easy come, easy go.
Yeah, that was a real easy go. Sorry, Nathan. That was your chance. We're going to shut it down. Go ahead, Case. Rip through what you want to rip.
Well, a couple of things people have mentioned, and something that we talked about in the off season, and that, like, you know, I'm getting some pretty good heat on the subreddit today. People messaging me for talking about how I didn't think the offense was the issue with this team. And how I thought, you know, the Titans game was probably a fluke, although I didn't necessarily say it was definitely a fluke. And I have to eat some major crow. So for any of you who are listening to this, who you know, who saw me talking about how, like, I didn't think that the offense was the problem with this team, especially, and that I thought the Titans game was a fluke, that we weren't likely to see another performance like that, I clearly was wrong. And so I apologize for being wrong, and if I said anything mean about you, I apologize for that too.
Clearly wrong.
But no, bigger picture, one thing we did talk about this offseason a fair amount was that Bob Quinn was coming in, and it seemed to me and several others that he was giving Caldwell the rope to hang himself with. And there were some things that they did to, you know, attempt to make Caldwell's life easier, but they also gave Caldwell the leeway in terms of hiring on a lot of assistant coaches and things like that. And this, to me, and added on to the Titans game, and added on to the first half of the Packers game, and added on to the, you know, defense in the Colts game. I mean, through four games, there have been so many coaching failures on so many different levels that every single person that Caldwell brought in personally, and I'm not necessarily including Jim Bob Cooter in that, because that was a bit of a different situation, because that was a bit of a, like, a against the grain type thing. that the organization as a whole did, not necessarily with Caldwell. So leave that, set that one aside. Not necessarily forget about, but set it aside. But pretty much every other coaching change there's been over the last 2 years, and especially over the last year, now that Quinn's here and gave Caldwell the you know authority to hire the guys he wanted around, is such abject failure that the theory that a lot of us were speaking this last offseason, myself included, was that Bob Quinn was giving Jim Caldwell the rope to hang himself with. And he hopefully has. I mean, I don't know how you look at this in any other way.
There's no question he's hung himself.
Right. The only question is whether or not they're willing to pull the trigger, and I hope they are.
I don't think there's any question. Looking how Quinn has dealt with the roster this year, I don't think he's going to deal with Caldwell any differently.
I'm
back on my heads on a stick thing. Caldwell's head is out there.
And I agree. I agree with everything that Risden said. I agree with everybody else who said there wasn't a better option. There were parts of me like I was never 100% on board. I was never 100% off board, you know, et cetera. Like I understood the concept behind keeping Caldwell. But when you've given him the leeway you've given him and this is the product, that's got to be. This game had to win. Like this was an absolute must win. And
it's a can't lose. I think there's a difference, but I know where you're going.
I think you'd be right by saying it's a can't lose. I completely agree with that. You're absolutely right. That is a much better way to put it than what I said. It was a can't lose game that they lost. And if Bob Quinn doesn't take some form of immediate action, it doesn't absolutely have to be this week, but it has to be over the next couple weeks. If he doesn't, then I'm going to have to lose a lot of faith in him as a GM. And I don't want to do that because he's so new. Like, I want to give him time to do his thing. But if he can't take any action when something's clearly broken, so that's what I'm looking for over the next few weeks, to see what happens, like with the coaching staff, to see if Bob Quinn takes some action. Because if there is no action taken, my hope for this coaching, this front office is as low as it is for this coaching staff.
Yeah. Well, and here's where I'm at. Bob Quinn has done a lot to earn himself credibility with this organization so far. And I believe in Bob Quinn still. It's a difficult choice. I mean, it's funny because you say, well, there's still a lot of games left. We're through a quarter of the season and we're not looking.
We're looking at another situation like we had last year.
Yep. Season's over early, right? And we're not looking good at all. I mean, not at all. We've played, well, on the road a lot. Some of the easiest games we'll face this year. And we've looked horrible. Absolutely. And today, in a can't-lose game, we walked out there entirely unprepared.
I honestly don't remember watching the Lions be worse than they were today.
This team right now, today, it was all on that one play where Ebron stood up and gave up, while Riddick was running around behind the line in the same old play, getting beat and getting killed. He gave up. He turned his back to the play and looked to the sideline. I'm telling you, I'm fucking done with Ebron. Well, he's got a long road to win me back. He's been shit for 2 years. Fine, takes a long time for tight ends. But to give up on the motherfucking play in year three, when you're supposed to be coming alive and rolling around on the field like a bitch when you're hurt, and then two plays later, you're back in there. You know what? Get a pain threshold. Be a fucking man. This is going to lead me to something else. And it's going to be a little bit of a rant. This is, you know, my anger management coming through here. But I'm looking back to Levy's article, right? And about trying to get people, their hearts warmed up to players. I want to think about this maybe from a strategic perspective, what he might have been trying to accomplish with that article. Okay, and this is going to be controversial, and I'm sorry if it's controversial for you guys.
And I'm not going to agree. But no.
But it's just like what happened last year. Golden Tate was bitching about the fans. You remember that? And he took shit because of it. He's blaming the fans. Oh, booing us, all that shit. If anybody remembers, he took shit and he's like, well, no, I didn't realize how the history and da da da. I think DeAndre Levy knew this team was a piece of shit and was going to look like a piece of shit and continue to be a shit, and was trying to get out in front of it with his article to try to make people feel, hey, some heart for the players. Let's treat them humanly and all the other bullshit around that. I'm disappointed as hell in this team. And any kind of inoculation about players, oh, they don't deserve the kind of hate and heat. I'll tell you what, Eric fucking Ebron does, standing there with his dick in the hand looking at the sideline. Golden fucking Tate, all fucking season, where's he been? Oh, he's running the wrong fucking route, gives us a fucking interception because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing on the field. This is the shit. This is why people get pissed at these fucking players, because they're fucking standing around with their dicks in their hands and fucking up left and right. You got a great player in Golden Tate. You have what should be a great player in fucking Eric Ebron. And they are symptomatic of the epic failure of the cohesion and teamwork on this team. Eric Ebron stood there as a fucking individual, and I don't feel sorry for any of the shit his arrogant ass takes because of it. Now you can tell me I'm wrong, Casey. Sorry.
I don't think you're 100% wrong. I just think you're like 50% wrong. But I think we should save that conversation for the podcast this week.
Sure.
So.
Sure. All right. That's probably the right way to bring it down. Let's go ahead and close this thing out. I got my anger out. I can sit back, maybe watch some football the rest of the day now. Don't forget, guys, this show needs your involvement. We use the comments in the subreddit and the feedback you give us there to make this show better. A lot of new sub members. Did you hear them, Casey? A couple guys call in who knew, joined the sub as a result of listening to the show. That's really cool. That's really cool. I like people like that. Interesting time for them to do that, too. All right. Don't forget about us on Patreon. You know, you guys supporting us. We had a couple new supporters join us today. That was great. It helps keep the show going, helps pay for all the expenses associated with it. We're working at a net loss, so anything we can do to offset it, we appreciate you guys' help. Don't forget, it's patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, and you'll see us there. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and of course on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast, where you can see Case.
I'm toast.
Just like that. Yeah. Check us out. Those are great places on Facebook. Share, like, all that kind of stuff. Twitter, follow, subscribe. Get us in your feed. You'll love what you see. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. Amazon.com. Everyone shops there. I mean, I shop there pretty regularly. If you're going to do that, head over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Roll over to the right side of the screen. Scroll down just a little bit. You'll see a nice little link to Amazon. It'll take you right there. No pop-ups or willy-nilly bullshit. But that lets them know that you came from the podcast, and they give us a little kickback on anything you buy. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that Amazon link. Help us out with when you do the shopping you're going to do anyway. Lastly, be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast. You'll get it to come inside your teeny little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions!